You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January 17, 2022. Many had this day off. It's a federal holiday for Martin Luther King. Wall Street, of course, is closed. No action there today. We're going to be spending some more time on the MLK speeches of the past and put them in perspective with today's history later this hour. And also, I'm going to share some remarks made by Dr. King's daughter, Evangelist Alveda King. She is founder of the pro-life organization, Speak for Life. I said daughter, it's a niece. I'm sorry, my mistake there. As to what she thinks the MLK would think. And there are those who are still saying that CRT, critical race theory, should be taught in our schools because that's another example of racial inequality and systemic racism throughout this nation. All of this stuff going on, the way Biden has handled this stuff, as I pointed out in the last hour, in case you missed it, throughout the country through 2021, based on a poll by Gallup, the country moved away from Democrat Party ideas and ideology. And many of them, by the way, many of the ideas that you see out there labeled under Democrats are really progressive Democrats. There are a lot of Democrats that they don't buy into that stuff, but they're in that party, so they're kind of stuck there unless they choose not to run and know also if they run, they're going to lose. And 25 at least have decided we're not going to run for 2022. So Republicans have an extremely good chance of winning the House back in 2022. But at the beginning of 2021, 49% of the country identified as Democrats. 40% said they were Republicans. That was at the beginning of Joe Biden. Now, after one full year, 47% say they're Republicans. Only 42% Democrats. That's a 14-point shift towards the GOP. It's been 25 years since the GOP held a five-point lead over the Democrats. And why would that be happening? Again, it's because of the things that Trump was pointing out in Arizona over the weekend. And there were many who thought he was going to use that opportunity to announce he was going to run for 2024. That did not happen. What did occupy a lot of folks over the weekend, of course, were the various football games. And in one particular, I might point out, since God's football team is the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I can hear you. I hear some of you out there. I know. But Dak Prescott, he's the quarterback for the Cowboys, heard that fans were throwing trash at the referees after the Cowboys lost. Dak was trying to get in at the last few seconds, trying to run a play, and trying to get everybody lined up and spike the ball. And he said the refs were too slow to spot it, so therefore, they are to blame. I'm not going to buy that. You shouldn't have been making that play, but so it goes. An ex-education advisor and former President Barack Obama pleading guilty to wire fraud. Scheme, taking $218,000 from a group of charter schools he had founded in New York City. And in Utah, according to a Salt Lake Tribune editorial board statement, if Utah were, quote, a truly civilized state, the governor would have deployed the National Guard to ensure those without proof of vaccination would be barred from going anywhere. Really? That what you want? As I mentioned, today is MLK Day, and there was a statement from President Biden regarding it. I should make note that the statement was pre-recorded, a pre-recorded address, because the president is at home in Delaware. You're not taking part in any MLK activities. Do you find that strange? Coming up in the next hour, we're going to hear more from MLK of the past and also Senator Ted Cruz about the hypocrisy that exists.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to point to you the words of President Joe Biden. If you're not inclined to believe a Republican, maybe you'll believe Joe Biden. Here's what Joe Biden said in 2019. This is not 1964. This is not 1954. 2019, a couple of years ago. Quote, ending the filibuster is a very dangerous move. You're at home and you don't believe Republicans. Do you believe Joe Biden? Was he lying when he said ending the filibuster is a very dangerous move, or was he telling the truth? Because that's what Joe Biden said just a couple of years ago.
That is Senator Ted Cruz pointing out on the floor of the Senate how the Democrats have done a flip-flop. And, of course, many politicians do that. They realize we're on the wrong side here. We better get back to the other side. But those particular remarks that Biden said that you end democracy, basically, I mean, that's strong language. It shouldn't surprise us. It really shouldn't. Because if a man who's faith, and Joe Biden being a Catholic, says that it is wrong to kill an unborn child, abortion, and he signed on to the Hyde Amendment while a senator because he didn't want any federal dollars to be spent on abortions, and said it was a wrong thing to do, but then to win the White House, he sells out his own religion and his belief in protection of unborn children just so he can sit in the Oval Office as president. See, that's the kind of thing that gets me. I mean, you can have any view you want. You're entitled to that. But if you really believe it, stick with it. Now, if you can go through some changes and acknowledge, you know, I had that opinion, I'm wrong. And I will tell you I'm wrong. But when you do it simply for either political gain, monetary gain, or just the fact that you'll think you'll win more friends and create less enemies, you're a spineless piece of, you add the adjective or the noun. But that's what Biden said. Oh, but Senator Cruz was not wrong, was not done. And keep in mind, what they're talking about here is we want to get rid of the filibuster at this point because we can't have Joe Manchin. Even Maxine Waters over the weekend said, we can't have one man like Joe Manchin hold up the whole progress of the nation. Who woke her up and said, did you know this is going on? I have no idea. But every time she opens her mouth, it's always going to be a matter of it's a race issue. Because, again, she called him a racist. Where's that effect? But as Senator Cruz said, that's what Biden said in defending that we don't get rid of the filibuster. This is what makes things the way they are, that makes this democracy the way it should be. Biden was, of course, not the only one then that had that opinion and has changed now because it's politically expedient. The same is with Senator Schumer.
Senator Chuck Schumer in 2015 gave a speech. I'm going to read to you verbatim what he said. He said, they want, because they can't get their way, to change the rules midstream. All right, what would be the effect of that? You change the rules midstream, you nuke the filibuster. What would be the effect of that? According to Chuck Schumer, the effect of that, to wash away 200 years of history. That's what Schumer says is the effect. Washing away 200 years of history, that sounds serious. Anything else? They want to make this country into a banana republic, where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Wash away 200 years of history, make this country a banana republic. That's pretty serious stuff. That ought to concern us, but at least that's the worst it gets, right? Well, actually, no. Schumer continued. It'll be doomsday for democracy if we do.
Doomsday for democracy. That's when he was for protecting the filibuster. He didn't want anyone on the Republicans to think they could get rid of it that easily, that it would lead to tragic consequences for the nation. Wipe out 200 years and a doomsday for the democracy. A little bit later, I want you to hear Cruz give a challenge to state-controlled media reporters. Where the hell are you in doing your job on this point? We'll come to that in the next segment. But before, I want to share something with you from James Carville. And I did not get a time to pull the tape together today, but that's okay because I love doing James Carville. I mean, you know, James Carville, one of the best-known strategists in the Democrat Party. He's the reason Bill Clinton got elected. Right out of Louisiana, he came up there. He's a strategist, and he helped Bill Clinton of Arkansas get into the White House and then hung around, did some more, now does other stuff. He's giving advice to the Democrats This was a piece that ran. I'll probably try to run part of it tomorrow if I have time. Every weekend, I mean, I'm watching stories constantly come down. It's somebody's opening up a full blast. I started to say fire hose. I think it's a dam breaking. All kinds of stuff rushing at me. I'm making notes. I'm sending myself messages to use. I'm getting messages and texts from other people. They're all good material. And finally, I reach a point where I either have to fish or cut bait. We got to put something on the air. We can't spend forever. And I had to make some decisions and try to be cohesive and hopefully be effective. You be the judge of that. But James Carville, one of the best-known strategists in the Democrat Party, said to the Democrats in his Cajun accent, just quit being a whiny party. Just get out there and fight and tell people what you did, and you tell people the exact truth. He said a lot of Democrat base has not been told or informed of the things President Biden and Congress has accomplished. James, it's a good thing that they haven't been told. Oh, they know, they just don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. I think James is losing. I think he's been having maybe one or two hurricanes too much. Waiting gumbo and etouffee in Cajun country. And eating ditch bugs, crawdads to some of you. Sucking the heads of them. That you come up with saying that a lot of the Democrat base has not been told or informed of the things Biden and his Congress have accomplished. What the hell have they accomplished? Oh, the Build Back Better bust. I mean, boom. I mean, the Build Back Better whatever. Went less than 15%, and that's a stretch, 15% going for infrastructure. But that's what he pointed to. He said, look at the president's bipartisan infrastructure win. You know why it's bipartisan? Because there were some things in there that would help states, and they need it, bridges, roads, so forth. And he talked about lower child poverty rates as examples of the victories. I haven't seen anything that says the child poverty rate is lower. Have you? Have I overlooked that? If I did, I apologize. But what Carville told Chuck Todd, who is hosting Meet the Press, what you do, Chuck, is you run on what you got. Kind of like you dance with the woman you brought to the party. But what he goes on to say is you don't run on what you don't got. He said the stuff you got's pretty good. If they don't pass voting rights, if they don't pass Build Back Better, run on that in 2022. Oh, please run on that. We would love to see them run on that. I got to say, I have a great deal of respect for Carville and some of his views and strategists. I do, but in this case, like I said, I think, have you had a hurricane? I'm talking about the drink. Got a lot of liqueurs mixed in with it. And I know that you can sit on the floor. I've done it. Sitting there with folks sitting and having one, I feel pretty good. I have a segment, and I go to stand up. I cannot get up. And I think in this case, Carville is falling down, and he can't get up. But again, back to Senator Ted Cruz as to reviewing Biden and Schumer and their hypocrisy.
Was Joe Biden lying in 2019? Was Senator Schumer lying in 2005? I don't know. You ought to ask them. A double power grab with a twist. Jim Crow 2.0, seizing federal elections, striking down the laws adopted by Democratic legislatures, putting an unelected radical leftist bureaucrat in charge of elections with more power, this one leftist bureaucrat, than all 29 million people in the state of Texas. Doing so by breaking the Senate rules to change the Senate rules, and the twist is with a dose of hypocrisy Unusual even for this place. Look, if a senator serves long enough, there'll be times when they may vote a little bit this way or a little bit that way. There are lots of senators that have had tensions with prior positions. I cannot think of another time when a senator has voted for something that he has called doomsday for democracy.
Yeah, that's what Schumer said. But now he's willing to endorse and wrap his arms around doomsday for democracy if it gets them what they want. Back to Carville, James Carville, he said, and if inflation's still at 7% in November this year, we're going to lose anyway. Bingo. At that point, you're right. He said, but I don't think a lot of people don't think that's going to be the case. Speaking of case, I'll put a case of whiskey against your case of whiskey, James, and then I'll have two cases of whiskey. But he says, shoulder on, you had a bad week, but you had a good year. What is he drinking? And there's a said, Senator Cruz also, while he was addressing this point on the floor of the Senate about the hypocrisy that exists, especially on something this major, I'm not talking about just a little move here and there on something, but this major, to nuke the filibuster, then he says he turns his attention to state-controlled reporters. You know who you are. We know who you are. Stand by. I have a new sponsor just in time that could save you a lot of trouble, maybe pain. K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Leaves get in your gutter, rain comes, ice. You have a major costly issue. Contact my new sponsor for a free estimate. K-Guard Midwest, locally owned. So you're supporting your neighbors and this program. KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Any reporter who wants to be something other than a partisan shill and mouthpiece for the Democrats ought to ask every single Democrat, Senator so-and-so, do you agree with Chuck Schumer that ending the filibuster will turn our nation into a banana republic? Do you agree, Senator so-and-so, that ending the filibuster would be doomsday for democracy? And by the way, if there are any reporters left who actually have journalistic ethics, you shouldn't just ask Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Right now, they're the lone Democrats with the gumption to stand up for democracy. But you ought to ask all 50 of them, every single one of the Democrats. Do you agree with Chuck Schumer ending the filibuster is doomsday for democracy?
Perfect question. Those senators will not appear in front of a reporter that would dare ask such a question unless they agree that, yeah, that was a stupid statement. And is he really, if he believed in it that much then, what's changed? What's changed is the power grab. They have control of the White House, the House, barely, and the Senate if it came to a 50-50 tie with VP Harris stepping in to break the tie. And by the same token, the reporter should be asking about this video apparently being released showing Pennsylvania official admitting election laws were broken in 2020. Now, again, not saying that's enough to overturn 2020. A Wisconsin judge ruling ballot drop boxes, the election officials put those out, broke that law in that state. Again, not saying that's enough to overturn the election, but that's what Trump was pushing again in Arizona, and a lot of people firmly believe it. I certainly have my doubts about it. I do not know, and I will not say that that would have changed the election. But there is reason. That itself is reason for full election reform. Do not buy the leftist argument that what this really is just an attempt to deny people right to vote. And if reporters were really doing their job, they would have been buying into this or looking in closer at some of these COVID false stories that were being pushed around by Dr. Fake forever. I'm looking at a piece here in the Federalist right now pointing out that the CDC, the title is the CDC finally admits cloth masks were always political theater. Mask mandates have always been more about showing compliance and keeping people safe. And the CDC's latest embarrassing disclosure further proves it, according to L. Reynolds, who wrote for the Federalist. Said there'd been obvious political theater back when Anthony Fauci promised, promised we didn't need them, and then flip-flop and promised we did. And, of course, you see all the people that wear the mask when they're being seen in public, and they know they're being seen, but when they're not, they take them off because they know they're not going to do anything. The Federalist ran a story back in November 2020. Many studies find that cloth masks do not stop viruses like COVID. That was 2020. Then what happened? Well, all the so-called fact checkers started saying that was false. But now the CDC has admitted they're not really that effective. And they should also be asking about this statement that came out of the Salt Lake Tribune editorial board. If Utah were a truly civilized state, the governor would deploy the National Guard to ensure those without proof of vaccination be barred from going anywhere. All right, let's turn to this date honoring MLK and why, and some of the things he said, and in face of critical race theory.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When we allow freedom ring. When we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Those statements still ring today, do they not? And they serve as a torch leading us through some of this darkness we're in, even now. Now, a lot of folks will tell you that they believe that what we have at this point is still the same things that we had back in the 60s. They're not. Do we still have some things that could be changed and made better? Yes. I'm always about making things better, but not at the expense of building better on lies and propagandizing our children and turning our children against each other because of the color of their skin. That was contrary to what Martin Luther King was saying then. There is, of course, no way to know officially what he would say about today's so-called CRT teaching, critical race theory, and the 1619 Project, which claimed America was founded simply for slavery. They can't be that stupid, can they, really? The Bible tells you story after story of slavery, and every religion knows about story after story of slavery, conquering armies, turning anyone they took over into slaves, assimilating them or executing or both. But right now, we just have just a push to say everything has to be related to race. Every wrong can be righted if there's reparations. When even many black leaders, oh, I'm sorry, I guess they wouldn't be considered black since they happen to be on the either conservative or independent side, not under the D label, that say that, nobody here had anything to do with slavery then. That's not going to make things up. And for those out there that are so concerned about reparations for that, where the hell are you when it comes to corporate America or your sports teams, in particular the NBA, accepting whatever they can get with China because green is the best color? Uyghur Muslims. Now, I'm Christian. We would have a difference in our religion, but that doesn't mean you have to dislike someone, does it? I have relatives, very few, but I have one in particular. Well, let me put it this way. I have a sister who's absolutely anti-Trump, and she was more conservative, but she has, as my brother says, she's gone more to the other side. So that's okay. Well, she's entitled to do that. But I'm not going to lose a relationship with my sister because of politics. I have some very good friends. I count them as true friends. If I needed something, they would be there for me. And they think this program and everything I say is a bunch of BS. They're entitled to it. A lot of folks out there that might have the same thought as well. As you know, we are now broadcasting, in case you hadn't heard, we are doing live on YouTube, even as I speak, and we're going to try to do that on a more often basis. But I want to take you back to something before I continue more with Martin Luther King in a moment and the value of this day, because King was against hate. He was against peace. And yet, when we had this crime go down in Texas the other day, the man in the synagogue taking the rabbi and other members of his congregation hostage for up to 10 hours, the FBI wanted to take the mild milquetoast approach that, well, we don't really know that this is related to a hate crime, or didn't say anything specifically about Jews, and it's not necessarily terrorists. You take anybody hostage and you hold them for a period of time, you're certainly a criminal. And if there's some political background for it, which there was in this case, because he wanted a woman freed, a Palestinian anti-Semite, then you got political hate. But when I put that up over the weekend, because I was so distressed to put it up on Twitter and my Facebook accounts, Larry Connors USA Facebook, also my personal Larry Connors USA Facebook. And again, we've been mentioning it throughout this program. I want to read some quotes that came in after I put them up over the weekend. What I said, when politics excuses a hate crime. And I pointed out, as I said in the first hour, I know many FBI agents, thousands and more men and women in the same mold of the agents I know and respect. Yet there's not one declaring that the Texas synagogue attack was a hate crime. Of course it was. In fact, suggesting the motive was not, quote, specifically related to the Jewish community. And as I said, he went past various Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, and other religious sites before he came to the Jewish congregation. And I labeled the FBI at that point, and this is not for all my friends that I respect in the FBI, but I labeled the FBI at that point foolish Biden idiots. Response coming in, Kathy said, what you said, Larry. Thank you, Kathy. Vince said, right, with five thumbs up. Thank you, Vince. And Jim said, 100% right. Let's go, Brandon. Alita Hurst said, yes, this is exactly what I was saying. I hardly heard anything on the news media. I even posted about the lack of coverage, and I know now why. And there were others. One said this. This is very key because I want to get to this next soundbite of MLK. She said, you take the Ten Commandments, the Bible, prayer. You take the Ten Commandments, the Bible, prayer, and the pledge out of schools, then a generation grows up to hate and be angry. Let's go back to Martin Luther King.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
That was a dream. It wasn't a divisive movement. It was to bring everyone together. That was a powerful speech. And then you have another one he gave.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That speech was given by Martin Luther King in Memphis, Tennessee on April 3rd, 1968. The following day, he was assassinated.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There is another part of Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream, and I may not get there on the mountaintop with you, but I've looked over the mountaintop, and I've seen what's coming. Time magazine just decided to reprint a part of that, an excerpt from a speech he gave at a later point that would have been in 1967. And it points out about, he said, I want to use this as a title for my lecture tonight, The Other America. And he goes through the various things that he has seen happen with thousands of people deprived of an opportunity to get an adequate education. And yes, that was happening. Not because they were dumb, he said, not because they didn't have the native intelligence, but because the schools are so inadequate, so overcrowded, so devoid of quality, so segregated, if you will, that in the best of these minds can never come out. Yet there were obviously those who did. He knows that. But you just say that I think there, I must say tonight that a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it America has failed to hear? He's not encouraging riot. He's just saying that that's what they will feel they have to do. He continued to preach and push for peaceful resistance, still demanding, but peaceful. He said, we got to still see that it is wrong that people are behind because of the color of their skin, basically. And there were attacks on him as well, keep in mind. The FBI did pay tribute today to Martin Luther King, but a reminder that despite the FBI tweet that life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others today, from the FBI, there were wiretaps against MLK's residence, signed then by Attorney General Robert Kennedy, and ties to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference under the pretenses of investigating communism. You should remember that. And J. Edgar Hoover had called King, quote, the most notorious liar in the country. That was during a 1964 conference over King's criticism. And the FBI investigated King right up until his assassination in 1968. The FBI got weaponized against one man who dared speak out contrary to what the norm was at that point. Kind of like the norm being that you have to wear a mask, you have to be vaccinated, you speak out, you can, they can weaponize the Attorney General's office after you and after parents. Democrat Party blasting the idea that parents should have a voice in what public schools teach. Let me repeat that again. In a Facebook post over the weekend, public education teaches kids what society, quote, needs them to know. You, your parents, you don't know what they need to know. Well, I might not be able to teach my child nuclear science, but I can teach them what they need to know to respect and honor other people and build your life on ethics. And ethics is something that you do when no one's watching. You don't do it for praise. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Let me go to Evangelist Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, founder of a pro-life organization. Many black communities, many black members, even though abortions are the highest in the black community, and even though abortion was founded by the Planned Parenthood founder herself, I mean, it was to be eugenics, to weed out the undesirables. Blacks are those considered inferior. Alveda King says, I can honestly say to you that my uncle sought to be like Jesus Christ. Now, of course, he wasn't successful, she added, because he wasn't perfect. He was a human being. But my dad and my granddad and my uncle, they would all repent. They would ask for forgiveness. And they wanted to learn to forgive others as well. She added, with that type of attitude, they were able to give us examples, to be examples. And with my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., was a very good example of how God loves and how God forgives. He walked those paths in his lifetime. He said, I was 17 when he was killed, and the very next year I was married. She said, yeah, he wrote a lot of great sermons, great books, great messages, but he actually did his best to live those examples that he spoke about and wrote about. That's a powerful legacy. Try to be more like Christ, forgiving, I don't have that heart. I'll have to admit there are times that, especially if it involves a crime against a child and vicious as I don't have that kind of forgiveness in my heart. God does. And I am a sinner through and through. I could try to do better, but I'm still a sinner. And I love the passage in the Bible when it points out that I came not for justice, but for mercy. Remember our pledge, which Dr. Martin Luther King would be glad to recite. Our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.